Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Welcome, y'all. Lauren here. And on this week of That Twin Mama Podcast, we are continuing the conversation I had last week with Dr. Janelle Howell, AKA the vagina rehab doctor, on all things pelvic floor, y'all, all things vaginal health. Last week, we talked a lot about different foods and hormonal balance and continence. This week, we're going in a little bit deeper on things that you can do for yourself and exercises you can do after you have a baby, whether that's diastasis recti healing, prolapse, vaginismus, all these. If you don't know what those words mean, listen on. These are all things that can happen or happen pre or post pregnancy or after birth, even if you haven't had a baby. And I think there's just also different debunking of myths that we do in this episode. I, for one, thought that Kegels were just, that was the exercise everybody did for everything pelvic floor, whether like you're after you have a baby, like, or before. I was doing Kegels before I even got pregnant, like, or had sex. I just thought that was a thing that you did. And little did I know that sometimes if you're not supposed to be doing Kegels, which half of us aren't, you could be causing issues. So listen on to find out a doctor's perspective on different things to help with your pelvic floor health, help with your vaginal health, pre, post, and during pregnancy. Hope y'all love it. Okay, so I love that we're talking about how to sustain like vaginal health, gut health, stress levels. So now let's say, okay, we're pregnant, right? Now I remember this, and I know you have a lot of knowledge in this area of just incontinence and having to pee. Yeah. The first sign I was pregnant, not sign, but one of the things, memories that I have is just I had to pee all the time. Like every, however, I was waking up in the middle of the night and like not even when I was super big. I know they say it's like they're pushing on your bladder, but even in the very beginning when they were smaller, I just had to pee all the time. Is that normal? Do you see a lot of incontinence during pregnancy? Is it called incontinence like when you're pregnant and having to pee? Yes. Like, tell me more about that because I know a lot of women deal with it.
I love that you're talking about this right now.
Yeah.
Because currently I'm in a phase of talking about pregnancy and pelvic floor health.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like I go through phases.
Like, love
I want to talk about this. Okay, let's talk about this for a little bit. So I feel like with pregnancy, yes, just the positioning of where the bladder is and the uterus is, just the growing fetus is going to be pressing on your bladder.
Right.
So that alone is going to contribute to the frequency of how often you pee.
Got it.
But it shouldn't necessarily be causing you to pee on yourself. So even if you're pregnant, because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant. Hi, every time I see I cough. And I'm like, that is a sign that you need to start working on your pelvic floor health now. It does not necessarily get better just because the baby comes out.
Right. No, it probably gets worse. I still sometimes jump and pee. Anyways, we'll get to that. But
And it's very common. So there's no shame in it, right? A human came through your vagina. Yeah. So things are going to weaken. Things are going to stretch. Things are going to, you know, be impacted by, I call birthing the Olympics of the pelvic floor.
Right.
And no one, a lot of people just don't go in prepared.
Right.
It's like, how do you go to the Olympics and not train?
Right. Yo, so that's a great analogy.
To train. Like number one, let's start with the basics. Develop just an exercise program. Mm. And I think many times we try and get so specific. What is the pelvic floor exercise that we have? First of all, just are you moving your body?
Mm.
Like, are you just moving or are you sitting all day? Huh. And if you're pregnant, I think the inclination, because we're tired, because we're swollen, because we're fearful, we're going to be more inclined to think, oh, we don't want to do anything that's going to hurt ourselves. But you need to be moving, sis.
Mm.
You need to at least work out 2 to 3 times a week. 20 minutes is good. Literally, if it's just walking
just
around.
Just a walk. Exactly. You don't have to be doing no, like, whatever, jumping a cardio.
If you can do what you can do. Right.
Exactly.
Just move. And that's going to help support your uterus so that your uterus has a better blood flow supply when it's time to give birth, because that is what's pushing the baby out, not you.
Yeah.
And that's another misunderstanding. We think that it's us against our pelvic floor. It's your uterus that has to push the baby out.
Right.
Like your uterus is doing it, and you just have to support
those muscles.
Right? Get into the position. That's another whole topic. But I think that number one, staying active as you can comfortably be. And of course, with doctor's orders, like if your doctor says you're on bed rest, then obviously you're on bed rest.
Right, right.
But if you can move 2 to 3 times a week is just fine. And then also like doing something that a pelvic floor therapist has designed, created for pregnancy, because we are the experts on the pelvic floor, pelvic floor physical therapist. So learning from us, I have different courses on my Instagram. It's only $36. Okay. And it's birth prep. It's called Your Golden Birth.
Girl,
so many women, especially Black women and brown women, are fearful. They're not doing anything because they're scared.
Yes.
That's only making us more sedentary and more birthing. Right. So like, I'm going to be teaching you the exercises that you can do to prepare. I'm going to be teaching you the positions that you can give birth in.
So many different
strategies,
ones. Yes.
All the things that you would want to know before you give birth.
Yes.
I think like just education is a big part of it. Like, can you just connect with a pelvic floor therapist and learn from them?
Right. Because I feel like also you can Google whatever, but a pelvic floor therapist will like look at your history of like what you're physically capable to do and like make a program for you. Because honestly, so what are your thoughts on Kegels? Because everybody's taught to just do Kegels, and I don't even know if I'm doing them right. I like hold for 10 seconds and then push for 10 seconds. That's just something like somebody told me to do.
Let's address the host of the podcast first. We're going to address Lauren for a second. So with Kegels, number one, it's overrated.
Really?
Yes.
Yo, that's like what everybody thinks they're supposed
number
to do.
Number two, they are not bad. Yeah. They're right for the right person, but not for everyone.
Huh.
That's a misunderstanding that every single person that automatically needs to start Kegeling. Lie.
Debunking these myths, y'all.
After a whole year of treating incontinence and nothing but incontinence,
yeah,
followed by 2 years working at Northwestern, which is like the biggest institution.
Oh, yes.
I worked in urogynecology. So eating your pants is my thing. Not my thing. One of many.
Not
my thing.
You ain't doing it.
It is 70% of the people I worked with were too tight.
Ah.
Now, does this mean that if you're listening, you're too tight? No.
No.
It means that immediately assuming that Kegeling is for you is not the right path. Because if you are already holding too much tension, Kegeling is going to make you more tense. Make you worse. That's going to weaken it more. A tight muscle is not a strong muscle.
That's such a good point. Because if you think about like, even if you work out any muscle and it's super tight, like you don't feel like you can lift anything. It just hurts. Like
it's stiff.
No.
It's weak. It's probably painful too.
Yes.
So one of the ways, so this is the most privileged way, is go work with a pelvic floor physical therapist if you can. Number two, you can start looking at your symptoms if you can't work with a pelvic floor therapist. Like number one, if you have painful sex, difficulty putting in tampons, you tore and you have perineal scarring that's still painful and all that, or maybe you have to push your pee out. Yeah. Maybe you feel like you can't empty your bladder. You're always going back to pee 5-10 minutes after. These are signs that you may be holding tension in your pelvic floor and you don't need to be Kegeling.
Yeah.
Now, just weakness alone may look like you have sex, but you don't really feel a lot of sensation with penetration.
Yeah.
Tampons are always falling out. Maybe you feel heaviness and more pressure in the pelvic floor. More vaginal heaviness, prolapse. These are four common signs of weakness and or laxity. There's also something called vaginal gaping.
Huh.
And that's just the visual. Like maybe before you had a baby, your vaginal opening was sort of closed. Like you could look down and you don't see it open. And then after a baby, it's more open. That doesn't necessarily mean there's weakness, because just a stretch to the vagina can do that if you have a baby.
Right.
But that can be a sign for some that there may be some weakness if there's more like you can see more through the vagina than you used to.
Yeah.
Right. So that could be a sign of sort of laxity or weakening of the muscles that surround the vagina. But the point is, don't assume that just because people are preaching Kegels that it's right for you.
Right, right.
Learn from a pelvic floor physical therapist if you cannot work with one directly, because many of us are giving free education online. That is literally what I do the most. I just give a lot of free information.
Amazing, right. Yeah. So I love that you're even talking about, because so many of the people that follow me have had babies. And the biggest question, when I put this on my stories, girls, it was popping off. People like were so, this was one of my most popular stories with Q&A questions.
Really?
And there were so many questions around, how long does it take to heal my pelvic floor after babies? Am I loose? Like, does it really go back to what it was before? Like, or just people afraid, like once they have babies, a lot of my followers are twin moms too. So they're thinking about having two babies. Yeah. Like, what does healing look like after you've given birth through that vaginal canal? Like, can you heal back to what it was? Like, is there going to be a problem with laxity? Like, what should they know, how to prepare, how to heal?
That is such a good question. So number one, I would say, try to remember that your body has just done great things.
Yes.
And your body does a great thing. Sometimes the body can be tired, or the body can change, right? Mm-hmm. So expecting to be exactly the same way that you were before you brought life into the world, I think that might be a little bit unrealistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that said, you can heal.
Yeah.
Many people return to the same level of tone or tightness, whatever you want to refer to that as, in the vagina. And many people return to their function before baby, meaning they eventually get back to not peeing their pants.
Yeah.
They get back to no pain. That's not everyone's experience, though.
Right.
And I think that just because you notice change doesn't mean that you're dysfunctional.
Yes.
So like, maybe you notice that your vagina is not as tight. That doesn't mean it's dysfunctional. It just means it's more relaxed now.
Exactly. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's an issue. It just...
Right. Yes. Right. Totally.
Yes.
So I think, number one, after you give birth, the first 6 weeks should be literally you just... not doing much. I mean, of course you're going to be doing much because
but don't be worried about that.
But please don't be trying to get back to your running routine like 6 to 8 weeks postpartum, please, because your uterus is vulnerable after giving birth. It's lower than it typically is.
Yes.
That means you have a higher risk for prolapse immediately after giving birth.
Can you define prolapse? Because someone asked me about that and I wasn't sure what it was. But okay.
Yeah. So prolapse is when one of your pelvic organs starts to droop down. That's the most simple. And sometimes it droops into the vaginal canal. Cool. So you can start feeling like a bulging sensation that might be your bladder sort of protruding into the vagina. Huh. Sometimes it's the uterus that starts sort of dipping down and you might see something that looks like a little donut. Most commonly, I would say I see the rectal prolapse. And that's when your rectum starts protruding forward. Sometimes it's hard to have a poop because you feel like the rectum is sort of protruding into the vaginal canal. And you might have to sort of push it back with your finger into the vagina. That's called splinting. Yeah.
Jeez.
So prolapse is very common, but there's a lot of shame involved with it. So a lot of people are not talking about it. There's a lot of fear. People are just not going to the gym anymore. They don't want to make it worse.
They don't want to
not having sex. They feel like sex is going to make the prolapse worse. Sex does not make prolapse worse. Have the sex. Okay.
Have the sex. That was a question. Yes. I feel like sex is healthy through pregnancy. Once you heal postpartum, like that's just healthy for your uterus.
Right.
Your vagina.
Yeah, assuming there's consent and there's not pain or anything, you know, enjoy yourself. And so prolapse is when one of the pelvic organs sort of slips downward because there has been weakening in the pelvic floor tissues, maybe the ligaments or maybe the actual muscles. So there's like a heaviness feeling, a bulging sensation. And most people that have prolapse don't even know it.
Huh.
There's no symptoms involved. So you could have it and you don't know. 50% of people that have had a baby have it.
Right. Is it just like, if I were to look at someone, like we call it a mom pouch. Is that what it would look like? Like how would someone
It's more so the opening of the vagina or the anus, or most common prolapse is something protruding through the vagina.
I see.
So if you do a vulva check, so I talk about this a lot on my Instagram page, doing a vulva check, what that means is getting a handheld mirror, getting on your back, opening your legs, and like spreading the labia apart so you can see the vaginal opening, pushing out like you want to have a bowel movement. And you cannot diagnose yourself, but if you're seeing something sort of protrude downward, like something's trying to come out of the vagina, that could be a sign you have prolapse.
Got it.
And a gynecologist or a urogynecologist could diagnose you with this. But again, 50% of people have it. So it is a natural progression, not normal, but natural in the sense that, I mean, we have vaginas. And so it's an orifice. It's an opening.
Right.
So things could potentially sort of come down through that region.
Right.
So especially pelvic floor strengthening and training can really help with managing and also lowering your risk of it.
Okay.
Which is why before you get pregnant and while you are pregnant, doing pelvic floor work is so crucial because that baby is just sitting on your coochie.
Yes. Everything that we
It's like, girl, you got a whole watermelon just sitting on you like that.
This is the Olympic training. It's like, get your pelvic, like get that stuff tight and right. Not tight. I shouldn't say that, but just strong and in the way that it should be to run this marathon that's about to.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't necessarily mean Kegeling. Full body exercise are 10 times better than just sitting around Kegeling.
Yeah.
It's not the same as moving your whole body.
So agree. And I love how you said this on your podcast too, that like, training, if you will, or like getting your vagina and your pelvic floor prepared for birth is like you run the risk of lessening the risk for like a C-section or when you are in labor and pushing out. It's just, I don't know how many women have pushed for a really long time. Most of my babies I pushed out within like, I want to say 30 minutes, even with the twins, which I feel like I was very blessed. There's someone that just labor, and like, sis, it's not coming. We got to C-section it. And it's just... Yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up, girl. There was this study. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact like reference.
Yeah.
But I read this study looking at women who have pelvic floor muscle tension and women who have more of normal pelvic floor muscle tone, meaning they're not too tense or too tight. The women who have more tension in their pelvic floor, listen, the C-section rates were so much higher. Because the pelvic floor is resisting the baby. Because when your pelvic floor is tight, it's lifting up towards your uterus, towards the bladder. It's like lifting everything up, which is why a lot of women with and people with pelvic floor muscle tightness have to pee all the time because their muscles are pressing up on their bladder. And so that's a lot of pressure on their bladder.
So that's interesting. You're saying, I would think that you have to pee all the time because it would be like the opposite. Yeah.
But you say, all the time.
Not all the time.
It could be both, but more commonly, frequency is because of tension.
What?
Leakage, like sense. Actually peeing your pants. That could be from weakness or tension.
Yeah.
And again, more commonly with tension.
Here, I've seen people with
a super weak pelvic floor, and we grade it from 0 to 5.
Okay.
When I tell you, I've seen people with a 2 out of 5, which is, you know, kind of weak.
Yeah.
We want people to at least be at a 3. I've seen people with like a 2 and they still don't pee their pants.
Huh. So you
strength is literally only one thing that your pelvic floor needs.
Right.
Pelvic floor needs mobility. It needs to contract at the right time. It needs to be able to let go. There's a lot endurance. Like how long can you hold a contraction?
Right.
That's really important for an orgasm.
I even think about that. They're the same stuff.
They're like, nah, we're about to bring you no orgasm. We tired.
We tired, sis. You did work. Okay. Yeah.
So it's not just strength. So I think like people forget if your muscles are really tense, that's going to be fighting against the descent of the baby. Because if you're all tense and tight and your muscles are sort of holding everything in, that's going to be providing a lot of resistance, to the descent of the baby. And so those people are getting C-sections more. So again, this is why before having a baby, especially if you have high anxiety, you have history of sexual trauma, you have pelvic pain, period pain, you're probably tense down there.
Yes. And
so doing more opening pelvic outlet opening exercises, more of what I'm going to be teaching in this, your golden birth class, doing that before you give birth can really help.
Yeah. So that's so helpful because like it sounds like we're just taught Kegels. That's just going to make everything better. Where there is like, you're saying like a large percentage of women, it could be the opposite where you need to open, not Kegel tight. Yes. And so just understanding by getting someone that can tell you, like look at you, figure out your history and able to like give you the exercises that is meant for you, not just what you Google or you see some other influencer or somebody said worked for them. Is so important for pre-pregnancy, for your birth, and then after and healing. You could be like, I feel like for me right after birth, I, again, number one thing I wish I'd done over, y'all. Again, I had my babies in COVID. So I was lots of stress. But I wish I had gotten a physical, like a pelvic floor therapist, hands down, especially with my traumatic, I had a traumatic birth. If y'all just like, you've seen a couple of my stories before, just I had a breached birth with my twin B. She came out butt first, forward full, completely broke my pelvic bone, not broke the bone, but separated the collar, but I guess the cartilage just tore by like 4 inches of separation. So I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks because I couldn't walk.
Wow.
It was just wild. And not saying that like that could have been prevented, but I wasn't strengthening nothing intentionally. Like I was moving, but I wasn't strengthening anything intentionally. And then after healing, when I was trying to heal, that's when I really did really need one.
I agree. Because honestly, even if you did work with the pelvic floor therapist before, which I would encourage, or at least get educated by one, that doesn't necessarily mean that the baby wouldn't have come out the same way it came out. And it's it's the way the baby came out that probably contributed to that.
Exactly.
So, you know, birth is unpredictable. And that's, I think that's important to say, because there are people who feel like they did everything. They prepped, they 100%. Did the class, they got the doula, they did all this, and they still had a traumatic birth. And for that person, like, listen, we're holding space for you. You can't predict everything. But after,
girl,
after you give birth, listen, you just said your baby came out butt first. Listen. We all need to create a petition for Lauren to be a pelvic floor therapist.
Girl, I'm still healing.
Like, we need to say this. It's never too late.
Okay. That was a question. Someone was like, I'm a year out. Is it too late to start?
What?
That was a question.
I have a client right now. She is in her 60s.
I love that for her.
I've had clients in their 80s.
I love that.
Listen to this. This is funny. This is when I was still working in person, because I do everything virtual now.
Yeah.
But when I was working in person, this lady came to see me, Black lady, very mobile. Like, she shops all the time. She exercises. She was in her 80s preparing to get married. And she was like,
sis? Okay.
Listen, anyways, she said, I got to work on this because I can't still be peeing on myself when I get married. I was like, what? I worked with her for 8 weeks and it was done. Incontinence cured. Well, maybe not cured.
But at that time,
it worked. Yes.
So it is never too late, y'all, is what you're saying.
Especially for people who are telling me, oh, it's been 1 year, 3. Girl.
Yeah. That was the question.
You're still fresh. You're still fresh off the boat.
Yo, we need to talk after this. I might be hiring you because I didn't know if it was too late. Girl.
Heck no. And there are different people to go to. Like for you, someone who works with diastasis.
Yes. Let's talk about it. Yes.
Me, I work a lot with tightness, sexual pain, vaginismus, vulvodynia. Yes. And vaginismus is essentially when things can't get in. So like I work with a lot of married women who have never had intercourse with their husband because that thing is locked down.
Oh,
that thing is locked down.
Dang.
Thing is locked down.
And in my mind,
no shame. There's no shame. It's so common. And it is more common in more conservative cultures and religious communities. So I work with a lot of women who have vaginismus. And vulvodynia is when there's like burning, stinging, itching, aching around the vaginal opening. And that's been happening for like longer than 3 months. Again, the most common form of painful sex before menopause. And I'm saying these people get better virtually. I am not sticking my finger in their coochie.
Right. You don't need
to. I'm not doing any of that anymore.
Right.
And so there's hope. I mean, there's hope.
You don't have to settle. I love that. So like, okay. So that's great to know, because I had a lot of people asking, like, I wish I'd done this, but now I'm like a year or two. I'm like, okay. Sounds like it's never too late.
No.
Another huge concern folks were having, and this was something for me, and I got surgery, y'all, so I can't attest to this. Had I had a pelvic floor therapist, maybe I wouldn't have had to, but diastasis recti. Am I saying it? Diastasis
or diastasis? Yeah, you said it perfectly, actually.
Okay. So like that is one thing that a lot of women after they have like babies, especially twin births, are just like, can I heal this? Is it ever going to heal all the way? And like, what are some things that can support that? Or what type of pelvic floor therapist should they seek if they're really serious about healing their DR, their diastasis recti?
Okay. So I have to plug one of my friends.
Yes. Okay.
It's a pelvic floor physical therapist who also does a lot of virtual help. For people who have diastasis recti. She had it herself. She's a pelvic floor physical therapist. And so her name is PT Trainer Shonda.
Okay, I'll put it
on Instagram, PT Reiner.
Yeah. Shonda. Yeah.
Right. She didn't put no double T. So P.T. Reiner, Shonda. Yeah. And her name is Dr. LaShonda Jones. So okay. I'm just plugging her because she's doing a lot for that community, postpartum, diastasis recti, C-section.
Yes.
That's her thing. That's her thing. And I want to plug her.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
Check her out on Instagram. Tell her the vagina rehab doctor.
Yes. Yes, y'all. Okay. We got another expert.
That's,
okay. Got
that's
it.
An option. And if you want to go to in person, that's fine too. Right. Obviously that will be a little bit more individualized care if you want that. So that's that option there, but like just starting some exercises, even on YouTube,
yeah.
Like you can go on YouTube. There's so many pelvic floor PTs that are doing free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing very similar things in the clinic.
Yeah.
It's not that different just because it's free.
Right.
And so if you go on YouTube and find some people that are teaching you exercise for diastasis recti, pelvic floor weakness, even on my page, regardless of if you have diastasis recti or not, the exercises are the exercises.
Yeah.
So you don't have to wait until you have diastasis to do strengthening exercises. They're some of the same exercises.
Yeah.
And right?
It's all tied to being strong.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's all tied to control, coordination, getting your hips to work well with your pelvic floor.
Yes.
Posture. Oh, Lord. We need a whole podcast just for posture.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not going to go there,
okay.
But
part two, y'all.
So yeah, there's so much support. Don't give up. Like you just have to start nurturing your pelvic floor. Same way you nurture a plant, you know, just got to feed into it.
And the earlier you can start, I would say probably the better and easier it will be to heal whatever it is that you're trying to heal and getting someone that can like diagnose you. So for me, like I had an umbilical cord hernia that was just growing like the size of a golf ball. And because I had such a traumatic birth, it was hard for it. Just my, everything wasn't functioning as it should. And I was just kind of doing it on my own. Again, I wish I had like a specialist. So we got a year out and I had my OBGYN general doctor was like, you need to get this hernia removed. Nothing's going to happen. And I was like, oh, if y'all going to put me under anyways, can like, let me get a tummy tuck. And so I kind of opted to just, they healed my stuff.
Yeah.
But like I was doing exercises consistently, but I probably wasn't doing them as consistently or with somebody that could. I was just kind of making up stuff. I'm not even lying. Don't do that.
Listen, she
don't
said,
do that.
I'll take it till I make it. Come on.
It's like, look at the random content creators. Like, oh, I'll try that. So just to say, have a plan, get someone that has a plan, be consistent. And like those things after birth, prolapse, diastasis recti, laxity, tightness, all those things can be worked on.
And, let me quick plug for people who give birth and develop tightness after giving birth.
Yeah, that sounds not, and this sounds so ignorant, but like that seems like I would not mind that in my head.
No. Let me tell you what that can look like.
All right.
That can look like having sharp pain just with the insertion with sex.
Okay, no. That
that can look like not even be able to get it in at all, whether it's a tampon, a menstrual cup.
After birth, you're saying that people,
that can look like having extreme constipation. So it's not like all gravy when you hear somebody has tightness. We're talking about too tight.
Yes.
There's levels. There's the tightness of like, oh, you got a compliment. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Then there's the level of you're so tight, you're having dysfunction now.
Ah.
Always got to go pee, right? You have painful sex. You can't even orgasm. I see that so commonly. Women who are so tense, they cannot reach orgasm.
Let's talk about that because you said this on your podcast a little bit. Like it's, yes, if you're so tight, like tense, tight, but also like mentally being like de-stressed, like all the things are connected because I had a bunch of women ask like, sex is just a chore for them with their husbands. Like they don't orgasm anymore. They do it because they're trying to be a good partner. They don't like, they're touched out. They don't enjoy sex. And they just given up on the days that they enjoy it and they have an orgasm for it. And I'm like, I get that right after, like, I didn't have sex at the 6 week mark. I took a good 3-4 months. Cause it was just like, I can't do nothing.
But when that's normal.
I feel like 6 weeks, it's like, if you're doing that, good for you. But like, it's not everybody's norm and that's okay. But you can get to a place, I feel like, where you should be enjoying sex with your partner, even if you have kids.
Especially if you're doing the activity.
Right.
If you're going to do the activity, you might as well get the benefits from the activity. Listen, sex has a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
Lots. So if you're going to be spending 5 to 15, 30, listen, I don't know how long y'all doing it. if you're going to be doing it, why not figure out how to nurture our sexual wellness? So number one, if you just had a baby, of course, there can be some weakness in the pelvic floor or tightness, and that can prevent arousal. Yes. That can cause painful arousal.
Yes.
That can cause inability to orgasm. I mean, there's so many different things. And so don't just assume that because you had a baby, you're loose.
Right.
Look at your symptoms. Is it feeling more tense? Is it feel like it's hitting a wall or they're hitting a wall? You know, that is going to be really important. And there are also people. So if we're going to go back to the orgasm thing.
Yeah.
Your muscle is like an open hand.
Okay.
Imagine shaking someone's hand. If you want to shake someone's hand, you have to first have it open.
Right.
If your hand is just in a fist to start with, you're doing a pounding.
What's up?
You're not able to open and close. That's an orgasm. An orgasm is the open, fully, close, strongly, and that's happening quickly. Your muscles need to be able to do it like lightning.
Right.
And if your muscles are just really stiff, it can't open enough to really create a good contraction. So it's going to be harder to reach the orgasm. And even if you do reach it, it's going to feel like a flicker.
Right. Oh, that's
feel
so
like
disappointing.
This little like disappointment.
Lips. Yeah. No.
Like I did all of that.
That.
Or this. Exactly. Listen, it could be the weakness, it could be the tightness, but yes. For my community, I am commonly seeing my highly anxious, my stressed out, my tailbone pain people, constipated people, painful sex, can't orgasm. Because there's so much tightness and anxiety and stress typically leads to tightness.
Everything. Because if you think about it, what if you could like put anxiety and stress in a physical form, it's not going to be loose and free flowing. You're going to be like this, you know?
Girl, like, you just
makes
breathe.
Sense. It makes breathe. Sense. Okay, I'm going to call, like, that was one of the big questions that I got around orgasm. I'm going to pop off a couple other ones that people were just like, this is happening to me. One person was asking if a C-section or premature birth has less effect on your pelvic floor. Like, do you maybe not really need pelvic floor therapy if you had a C-section or if your babies were born prematurely, so they never got very big?
Okay. So that's a really good question. In an ideal world, everyone should go get pelvic floor therapy if they could afford it, if they had access, all of that.
Yeah.
Number two, there's no easy way to get a baby out. Whether it comes to the vagina or your abdomen, you are cutting through multiple layers of the abdominal wall if you have a C-section. So those are going to be muscles that are injured and now need healing.
Makes sense.
A lot of scar tissue there. And your pelvic floor works very closely with the abdominal wall. So you have people that develop painful sex after a C-section, frequent urination after a C-section, pain, abdominal pain. So no, I don't think that you shouldn't consider. Is there a less risk for prolapse? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because
right.
the baby is not being birthed through the vagina, so that there's not as much stretch or strain on the vagina, but it's not impossible to still develop a prolapse, even if you've never had a baby. So I think that there's a lower risk for certain things, but there's also just a different set of problems when you have a C-section.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because one person asked, like, every time I pee, I had a C-section, and every time I pee, I still feel like I have to pee. Help. That was literally their thing.
Right.
Is that a sign of?
She could be too tight.
Yeah.
Because those muscles around the urethra have to open up enough to allow you to pee without sitting there and concentrating. I have people tell me they have to concentrate to pee. Like, what are you? You got to concentrate. You're taking no tests. What are you talking about?
Right.
That's tightness. It could also be anxiety. Some people have like anxiety urinating in a public restroom.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, but outside of that, it's like if you have to sit down, it takes a while, or you feel like you just didn't get it all out, or you feel like you have to push your pee out, or you got to go back to pee after 5-10 minutes, that's typically a sign your pelvic floor is not relaxed enough.
Got it. That makes so much sense. Yeah. Another person was asking, what is abnormal? I want to normalize abnormal, but what is not okay postpartum pelvic pain? Like, when should it be like, when you first have a baby, you just wearing diapers, like you just 6 weeks, there could be, I feel like some sort of stuff. I don't remember being in pain, like other than my pelvic, you know, I separated my cartilage, so it was different. But what is abnormal postpartum pelvic floor pain where you should probably see somebody?
Okay. So if you're having pain, like beyond the 2 to 3 month mark.
Yeah.
You, definitely the pain needs to start being addressed.
Yeah.
If you're having soreness a week after a baby, soreness 2-3 weeks, maybe even a month, I mean, you're healing, right?
Yeah, right.
You're healed, you're bleeding, things are stretched, and you know, so soreness is normal, maybe even mild pain. But when you're having like pain that's contributing to your function, you're not able to walk uphill, you're sitting, now you're having pain, you do the steps and you're having pubic pain, you need help.
Right.
You need help. And that is probably not going to get better on its own. I'm not saying that it's impossible to, but it probably won't. And even if you didn't have pain, you should just go check your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
If you can access it. And I just made a post about this this morning. Pelvic floor therapists need to also stop telling everyone to go to pelvic floor
therapy. Huh.
Because number one, it's not accessible, to everyone.
Yeah, it's not.
There are insurance barriers, cost barriers, travel barriers. There are places where there's literally one pelvic floor therapist in the entire town.
Yeah.
There are history of trauma barriers. If you've had trauma sexually, you may not be comfortable with that level of care. I mean, there are barriers if you are in the LGBTQ. There's so many barriers.
So many, yes.
So I think like for us, we need to start definitely encouraging pelvic floor PT and creating awareness that that's an option, it's available, but then also acknowledging that it's not accessible to everyone and pointing people to some of the more accessible, free, open options like online classes, support groups, exercise courses, even just reading. Honestly, my captions are like articles online.
Right. I love that.
But they're super long and for the person who needs it, because if someone doesn't have a problem, they're not going to be sitting down reading that caption.
This is, and I love that you're naming this, because a lot of people ask like, how, when should I hire one? We just said like, if you're able to, earlier the better. But again, if it's accessible to you, like if you can afford it, if your insurance can,
or even time.
Even time, exactly.
We will say this, oh, you can bring your baby to pelvic floor therapy. Listen, are you going to even be able to relax?
No. And
truly focus on what your pelvic floor therapist is saying when you're trying to, the baby's on your left boob, they're crying, they're screaming. I mean, it's just not realistic for everyone. And this is why I truly appreciate how we are expanding into more virtual care.
Yes. Now.
Because yes, for the most part, pelvic therapy and physical therapy is hands-on, but we have to sort of move with the world. The world is moving virtual, and we need to create more virtual opportunities for people. So that's an option, and don't discredit how much you can get better from a virtual appointment.
100%. And I also love, like, you do virtual appointments, but you've also done in person. Like, I would say if there's someone offering virtual, first of all, see if they're certified, know what the heck you're talking about. And hopefully they've seen a real live vagina before. You know what I mean? Like, there's like certain people suspect. Yes. Okay. And like,
that is not do your due diligence.
Yes.
For me, I'm really big on testimonials. So I'm constantly posting people who've already worked with me. So I'm like, I'm not a scam. I do my thing. And if I don't do my thing, I'm honest with you. I'm like, I don't think this is working. You should go see someone in person.
Right.
For most people, it's working actually better.
Right. I mean, the moms that I like, this is ideal. In my mind, this would be ideal. A virtual thing. Cause like you said, like we can multitask as mothers, like we do it all the time, but to really retain what you're saying, like actual step-by-step exercise and stuff. And you showing me things like, I'm going to retain it in like a very small portion of my brain if I'm doing something at the same time. So like, I love this. I love this accessibility for mothers or for people who don't have access to that type of option in person. Tell me more about your masterclass, because I know you offer a bunch of different services. I know you have a waitlist for one-on-one coaching, but people could sign up to take your masterclass. What does that look like? Who's the ideal person for that?
So are you talking about my one for birth prep?
Yeah, I think is it the P2P? Am I saying that right? Or is that different?
Oh, no, you're talking about the painful to pleasurable. Okay. So my painful to pleasurable masterclass is for women and people who are having painful sex.
Okay.
Preferably for people who can actually achieve penetration.
Okay.
But it's not comfortable. It's excruciating. There's burning. You're hitting a wall, whatever. And you want to get the pain out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, pain shouldn't be in there unless you like. Yeah, and if you don't like pain,
you can like, that could be your thing.
Right, because there are some people that
Pain, yeah, good for you. I mean,
knock yourself out.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, that's.
But for a lot of people, it's really a barrier to their relationship, their marriage, their mental health. I mean, people are really struggling. So with that class, it's a fairly long class. It's about 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
But you don't have to watch the whole thing at once. And I'm getting into the causes of painful sex, what you can do beyond just exercises, hands-on techniques, different parts of the body that may be contributing to why your pelvis is dysfunctional.
And
I think with people who have painful sex, they need to remember that you don't have a sex problem, you have a pelvic problem. And your problem is showing up in your sex life.
I love that language shift.
Because if we just keep zooming in on just the vagina and just sex, we're going to be missing a lot of things that are contributing to why your pelvis is not tolerating sex.
Preach. That makes so much sense.
So that's what I teach in the masterclass. And when I tell you, it has helped. I have one customer who took the class. Before this class, she was able to have sex with her husband maybe like once every other month, if that.
Yeah.
And I understand for a lot of moms.
Yeah, hey, that might be okay. That might be good for moms. I ain't like, yo, if y'all doing that, no shame.
No shame. But for her, she wanted more.
Yeah,
more. After the class, she's having sex 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
Literally minimal to no pain, sometimes no pain at all. And what's interesting is that I thought people would just take the class and not want anything more. People took the class and now they're like, listen, I want to work with you one-on-one.
Yes, of course.
So they're investing more. So I think it's a great place to start if you don't have the time to go to pelvic therapy, you're not comfortable with someone treating you in that intimate way, you need help, you're desperate, right? The P2P, Painful to Pleasurable Sex Masterclass. And the name is a play on words. I don't really get into a whole bunch of the pleasure.
Yeah.
Just get the pain out. So at least you have the pleasure.
Exactly. One thing before the other.
Because if you're struggling with pain, pleasure is just out of the question.
Right.
For the most part.
Right. Right. What is
so
the
that's
other
that masterclass? Yeah. Then that you can just buy that now. If you go to my Instagram, click the link in my bio, I have, a shop where I sell different masterclasses. So it's called Painful to Pleasurable Sex. And then my upcoming course, I think this is crucial for people who are trying to get pregnant, are pregnant now, and want to prepare their birth, prepare their pelvic floor for the pelvic.
Really. Yes, y'all better listen.
So I'm right there with people because I just got engaged.
Oh, congrats.
I'm so excited about this. I'm just like, even though I got PCOS, there's a possibility that I may get pregnant.
Right.
So I want to start preparing my pelvic floor and everything for birth. So that class is only $37. So almost
better. Yes.
That class.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I will definitely be putting that in the description because I imagine that a lot of people listening to that will be interested in both, but particularly that one. I got so many questions on preparing and the aftermath of after you have birth. Before we wrap, what's something selfish or something to fill your cup that maybe you haven't yet done this year that you want to commit to maybe doing in the next 12 months? For as moms, like, we don't fill our cup very often. We put ourselves last. Even this whole conversation, I feel like people have been living in pain or not, like, ignoring the fact they ain't getting no period. They're just like, okay, this is my new normal.
Right.
I'm a suffer in silence. So like, I like to end each episode with what's one thing that you're going to do for you that you maybe haven't done yet that you want to commit to the next 12
months? That's a good one. I would say, so for me, again, before I started sharing about pelvic health, it was all travel.
Right.
And I've already done an international trip because y'all heard me talk about the 12-day Bali. Yeah. But I also am a believer in staycations. Where I did this when I was still working in person at Northwestern.
Yeah.
I did 410, so I had Fridays off. And I remember literally booking a hotel for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And then Monday, I just walked to work because I work downtown. So for me, I think that's something that I need to do is just take some time away from my fiance.
Yes.
I love him.
But yes.
He's the best. I love him.
And you could get some time.
But I think just disconnecting from my work for a little bit, getting a nice hotel, taking some time to take a bath and put on some music, read some books, maybe even go in a swimming pool if they have it. I think that is something that I should do. Because for me, just feeling like I feel like adventure and doing something new. Traveling is my thing. And I tell people, traveling is going from point A to point B. You do not have to go out of the country to travel.
Exactly.
Down the street is a travel.
Right, right.
Okay. So travel, right? So that's my thing. And I think like maybe I should probably do that pretty soon.
Yes. I love that so much. And I love like, it's like 1 year episodes. And I think we talked about this earlier, just doing whatever you can to de-stress is going to make everything as regarding your health of your pelvic floor, your everything better, your mental health.
Oh, totally.
So it's just such a priority. And it's not just being selfish. It's actually literally taking care of your body in the same way you would take a supplement or like a medicine if you have a headache. This is a definite way to like achieve that. So I love what you preach. You preach the vagina gospel, y'all. I'm just excited that you've been on. Again, you all, this is Dr. Janelle Howell. You can follow her at Vagina Rehab Doctor on TikTok and Instagram. And she shares links to her shops that she mentioned where there's stretch labs, e-guides, master classes that you can get into. She also has, this is really cool, a resource with the directory of like women of color pelvic floor therapists. Yeah. That's so dope. I didn't even know. I just saw that. I was like, yo.
Totally. Okay. There's not enough visual representation for women of color pelvic floor therapists. Most of the directories, if you go to a directory or even Google something, you're going to see a white woman, which is okay because we need help.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, whatever color you are, help.
Right. Mommy. Right. But it's great to have representation.
In terms of us, for the providers, it's more difficult for us to get the support to grow our clinics, to grow our practices. So I took my platform and I created a directory to highlight brown and black women pelvic floor physical therapists. And that's great because some clients want to work with someone who can understand their cultural background.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, we as the providers, we need more representation. So
absolutely.
You can find that directory at www.vaginarehabdoctor.com.
I love it. I thought that was so dope. And then again, y'all, I've been mentioning her podcast multiple times, but it is the Vagina Rehab Doctor podcast. Definitely start streaming that on all major platforms. It's so great. So informative. And I'm just so excited that you came on, sis. This has been That Twin Mama podcast. Peace, y'all. Now that concludes our two-part episode with Dr. Janelle Howell, aka the Vagina Rehab Doctor. I hope if you have a vagina, you learn something. And if you listen to this whole thing and you don't have a vagina, good for you. You one of the good ones. If you like what you heard, there's a couple of ways you can support the podcast. Please subscribe and leave us a review. It means so much to me and the team to do that, y'all. And if you follow us on Instagram, you can find us at That Twin Mama Podcast, where we give more relatable content even outside these episodes. And if you're more of a visual person and want to see a video to these podcasts, please go to our YouTube channel at That Twin Mama YouTube channel and see all the podcasts uploaded there. Till the next time we chat, y'all. Do something for you today. You can't pour from an empty cup. Talk soon, y'all.